Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, sir. You look like a man who could do with some more pedals.
Oh, yes, indeed. I love a good pedal. The only problem is pedals are so expensive.
Well, I've got some great news for you. From the 1st of October to the 16th of November, you can buy 2 Boss pedals and get the third, the cheapest one, for free.
For free, you say?
Indeed. Go to www.boss3for2.com. That's the number 3 and the number 2 with the word 4 to check the pedal combination and all of the terms and conditions. You can then go to any Boss UK dealer to claim the deal.
My goodness. The only question now is, which pedal?
That's up to you, innit? Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
That's a good start.
That didn't work, Matt. Try again.
Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
There we go. Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
if only.
Very good. God, it'd be so good if you were like the one like on the internet. Then we could just be like, yeah, it's not working tonight.
No, instead, I have to actually be here where you have only tea made of rhubarb.
Yeah, we've got rhubarb tea. I offered you a detox tea. There was Earl Grey.
I don't want any of those things.
I did find some spiced apple, but then I forgot to tell you because I knew that you'd probably want that, and I thought it was funnier to make you drink the quite weird rhubarb.
It's weird.
How's it going, chaps?
Yeah,
very good,
right.
Thank you.
Good.
You guys need to see me through this one because I'm unbelievably hungover. any support from you guys would.
You've been drinking schnapps and.
I went to the What Hi-Fi.
Taking poppers.
Yeah, I love those poppers. I went to the What Hi-Fi Awards last night, and it's just events. There's just booze, isn't there? Like Matt, you went to the Q Awards.
Yeah, and it's just like here's some free booze on a courtesy of I don't know someone.
Someone's paying for the booze somewhere down the line.
At least I hope someone was paying for it because I drank a lot of it.
Oh, there we go. Did you see anyone cool at the Q Awards?
So Duran Duran, that was pretty cool. Gary Numan, Tony Iommi, who else was there? Royal Blood were there, so I got to say hi to Mike. And I was like, what award are you up for? And he was like, well, I don't know, can't remember. I've just been to so many, I just don't really know anymore. I was like, oh, cool.
That's his life now.
What have you been up to? It's like, oh, I just came back from tour. I was like, oh, I'm just working in the guitar shop. And he was like, that's pretty cool. And I was like,
You sort of get the feeling, like, I remember meeting those guys sort of back in the day, like, he kind of wanted to work in a guitar shop. I used to spend a lot of time coming in, so.
I think, I just, like, from talking to him, I just think there's, like, they're knackered. Like, I think they've just finished, like, the last tour they're doing before they obviously write another record, and they've pretty much been on tour since that record came out, which was, what, early this year or late last year?
Last year, I think, yeah. Maybe last even, year. Like, middle of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably, like, end of the tour cycle.
Yeah.
I found out today, speaking of Gary Numan, that Gary Numan married the president of his own fan club.
Really?
Yeah. Quite weird.
Oh, man, that's pretty weird.
I learned that on a podcast where the person being interviewed was Mark Paul Gosselaar or Zach from Saved by the Bell. Welcome to my world, gentlemen. What else have you been up to, Matt, apart from Q Awards?
Oh, my boss backpacks arrived today.
Go on.
Oh, yes.
Did I tell you I was buying two boss backpacks?
I think I saw something about it on the group.
They came up on eBay, yeah. A CS3 and an OD2. They're a little ripped, but I knew they were ripped. But I'm well chuffed that I finally got hold of two boss backpacks.
How much did you spend
on them? I'm
going
to get them fixed and definitely use them.
How much does a boss backpack go for these days?
I think I bought both of them for like 20-odd quid.
Right. Are you going to wear the CS3 on the right shoulder and the OD3 on the left shoulder?
Two straps are better than one. Double the action, double the fun. So I hear. So do you know the boss backpack? What's the history behind it? How old are they?
I think these ones must be about... I think they must be like, I don't know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
But yeah, I think before they kind of did... I think a while ago for staff, they kind of did like an in-store promotion, whereas if you sell a certain amount of boss products, you like... get a stamp every time you sell something, and then you send this like form off to Roland, and then they send you some merchandise, which I found out the top piece of merchandise was a leather embossed jacket. I was like, I want one of those jackets.
A leather embossed boss jacket.
Yeah.
That's
embossed.
I just hope it says I'm the boss on back, but yeah. Then there's the boss logo. That's what I want. And that's where I also got my boss watch from, or you know, it's the same run.
And you got boss bin as well.
Yeah, I've got a boss bucket.
All right, okay, boss bucket.
It's a metal bucket.
Does it have a hole in it?
No. Oh, okay. No, it's a very well-built bucket, Jay. Come on, we're talking about boss here. I've also, somewhere, I think they're at home, my parents, I've got some boss magnets.
Okay.
I'm done.
Why do they exist? What else is in the ridiculous boss lineup that you don't have? We know about the watches. We know that the BED one that you wish was real.
Oh, the bed covers.
The bed covers, yeah, is not real. What else is there still to get?
So I'd love to get all the watches, yeah. But that would just be practically impossible because they're so hard to find.
What about the USB sticks?
The USB sticks. I have got a couple of USB sticks. I still don't have one of the boss computer mice.
Oh,
computer
if only you camp. Knew someone who had one of those.
Oh, if only I knew... I think there's more than one, though. Have you got the DS1?
No, I've got BD2.
Ah, classic mouse.
Holy grail.
Less game than a DS1.
Yeah.
It's sort of a more kind of transparent mouse, yeah. The BD2. It's yeah. Like
it's just for boosting the input of your computer.
You can click faster. People are using it for like Dota and stuff like
really
that.
Really want you want the CS3 for the mouse to just make, you know, for smoother operation.
But I don't really see the point in one of those. I just use a trackpad, mate.
Good. So there we go. Feel free to hop on the Facebook group and put in boss mouse puns.
There's loads of like weird merch. Like I found out because I saw another listing for a leather boss backpack, and it came with like a limited edition comic book that was released in Japan, all about this guy who basically looks like a gangster from like Chicago in like the 1920s, who apparently is the boss. And
it's
his superpower that he throws effect pedals at people.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's all in Japanese.
Maybe this is a video idea. Maybe we need to do like a top five guitar merch countdown or something.
The ultimate one would be the one that I think you mentioned in one of the other Guitar Nerds videos with the rarest pedals. And they did the Zach Wild SD1, the Bullseye one.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
There's a bit of controversy over that as to whether it actually exists. Because people claim to have got them, but then like some people are like, well, they're like really badly stenciled, but was that just because they were super limited edition, or was someone just making them? So yeah, it was really difficult to find out information on that.
What about
I think there's
gone.
I was going to say, because I think I remember seeing something else about it was actually bizarrely enough about Xboxes, and a guy had a really weird like prototype one, because there's obviously people in the factory who make the first one, you know, they make the odd prototypes, and then these things eventually, like, they just go, oh, it's not on, you know, it's not on stock technically, it's just a prototype, and then people just take it home, and then they just end up on the general market, like, much later on. So could be that they made one for Zach Wild, sent it to him, and he went, oh, I'll just chuck it in the pile with all the other stuff that I get sent for free, and there's just a couple of other ones just hanging around.
I would imagine something like that has happened. Anything else happening this week, Matt? What have you been up to?
I got to play the Line 6 Helix.
Okay, did you? Interesting.
Briefly.
What's the verdict?
Yeah. It's really good.
It can't be as good as the amount of money they want for it, though.
Well, how much are they?
$10.99
Yeah.
For a foot controller, I know it sounds like a lot for a foot controller, yes. But it's basically like buying a Kemper or an Axe FX in a foot controller.
It's not, and that's only the same as what a G System was back in the day.
Yeah, exactly. Only,
like, they're not that much now.
And they were ridiculous as well.
Yeah, but like they were the cutting edge of the technology at the time.
Yeah, fair enough.
You need to think of it more as like you say, Matt, like a Kemper or Axe FX. Rather than M13, for example.
Yeah, well,
I suppose the thing is I was talking to one of the guys, and he was saying that actually what they've had quite a few people buying them and then use them, because it's obviously got loads of MIDI on it, using it as hooked up to MIDI to their Axe FX or their Kemper, then using the Helix for all the effects, and then using it to change via MIDI all of the amp modelling on their Axe FX or their Kemper.
Who is trying these? Because they... Who's doing this?
Who's got them?
Because there aren't any.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did an in-store event, and the Line 6 bought the prototype.
Yeah.
We've had stock, and they're doing the same.
We've sold them. I've sold a few to people that have obviously had back orders. And they're like, oh, can we have a look? And they're like, no. I want to take it home and unbox it. And then, I was like, fair enough if you want to be the first one to unbox it. So, yeah, it was quite good to get hands-on with it. And what's really weird is that if you're editing it, all the buttons are touch-sensitive.
Okay.
So, like the screen on your phone. So, like, all the metal buttons work like push buttons without actually having to click them in. They just work via... being completely touch sensitive, and then like all the screen's really well laid out, it looks really slick, all the colours and the contrast and the screen are really nice, the sound's really good, like all the modelling sounds super realistic. So and it was going through two Line 6 stage source speakers, so just two active monitors, and it sounded massive.
Cool. Yeah, I think it's about time that market got a bit of a shake up, because it is kind of Axe FX and Kemper, I guess, that have ruled the roost.
Kind of dominated it, yeah.
And they're also, I guess, those are more kind of boutique-y companies, so it's good to see one of the bigger boys and one of the originators of amp modelling giving it a proper go, you know.
Here's a question for you. Do you think that the Helix will sort of offer like a trickle-down effect? So kind of in the way that we saw with Boss and their like the MDP technology.
Yeah.
Trickling down into the GT100 and then the ME80.
Yeah.
Do you think that we will see like new versions of Line 6 pedals and like maybe like a new M13 that's got all of those sounds?
Yeah, maybe, because
you know, perhaps without all of the control, or like an M5 with all of those sounds but with less control.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, because Line 6 haven't really released like a new pedal for ages. I suppose because they got bought out by Yamaha, so they're technically, but then they're still Line 6. But what was the last new product that, apart from
Firehawk,
the Variax standards?
Yeah.
I suppose the Fire. But then wasn't the Firehawk just like all of the same effects from the amplifier, but just laid out via Bluetooth? Because it was just like
an
amplifier.
And they've
Bluetooth.
Also done, you know, they keep updating what was the Pod HD and is now the, you know, they did the HD. I think they did the 200, the 300, the 400, then the 500, and now the 500 HD. You know, so they've not done anything. They've not been like messing about with anything small, which to a certain degree I think is probably a pretty wise decision.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you've got a Line 6 Echo Park or a Holy Grail in front of you, for example, I mean, you're probably going to go with the Holy Grail or a TC Electronic Hall of Fame. You know, you're unlikely to go with a single Line 6 pedal, but their strength has always been in their ability to put loads of bits and pieces together.
Yeah.
And I think it would be good, because I don't think there's been like a real shake-up in the technology for quite some time. They've sort of upgraded stuff here and there, and they'll make the sounds a little bit better in this or in that, or they'll make the editing a little bit more user-friendly. But by and large, everything sounds pretty similar. So it would be good if this causes a trickle down into smaller modelling news. I don't think that them moving into compacts is the right thing to do. I think, you know, they've got their niche, and they should run with it, because I think it works. And I, to a certain degree, it might. I mean, what's the point?
I mean, there's so much competition, and there's so much kind of, I guess, more interesting brands. Like Line 6, I mean, particularly now they're kind of with Yamaha, I guess they're kind of dry, and they have been for a while, but they make really good stuff in terms of digital modelling, and they kind of have to be a bit dry because they do a product that suits loads of different people.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, if they were going into the pedal space, I don't think they could kind of, it'd be very difficult for them to stand out in a world of, you know, boutique stuff, and even to some extent, like, you know, people like TC Electronic and stuff like that, so we've got a bit more of a cool edge these days. So. Joe Branton, you've been hanging out with a Silver Dan Electro.
Did we not just bypass Jay Cross?
Well, I thought you could both talk about it, because you've probably both seen this guitar.
We have, yeah. It's amazing, that Dan Electro, isn't it?
Was it
a 56 baritone? I think it was.
Don't ask me.
I think it was a 56 baritone. It sort of came out of nowhere. I was just looking through stock, and I saw, oh, that's a bit different. I'll get that. I think it was a 56 baritone, and in silver sparkle. And it is the single best sparkle finish guitar I have ever seen.
It looked, in the pictures, it looked amazing.
In the pictures, I thought it looked rubbish.
Really?
Actually. And in...
Oh, you mean in the pictures that I took?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The pictures that I took look good. Yeah. Whereas the pictures you're thinking of are the ones that the stock system.
I think the Dan Electro pictures are absolutely dire, and don't do it any justice whatsoever. And it's incredible. It looks amazing. Like the sparkle in it is so deep, and like the flake is so, it looks amazing.
And the leatherette wrap
that
you get around it, they've changed that to black for this instead of, it's normally like a cream.
That sounds good.
And and I think it was the first time that you'd noticed that there's a pattern in that, because they have like this
it looks
dimpled,
almost like paisley, isn't it?
It's that sort of, it has,
it's
a,
got a texture to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But in black it looks amazing. It's surprising how much of just like a simple colour change made that look really, go from something that looks relatively cheap to something that looks really premium.
Yeah. And like Dan Electro, another one of those companies who kind of in the same, you can talk about in the same breath as Line 6, in that like they've not done anything in a long time to sort of freshen up the brand.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why I think it's really good with Line 6, especially over the last couple of years with the Amplify and the Amplify especially, and then the Firehawk to a lesser degree, and now with the Helix, you know, they're bringing out some new and exciting stuff, as opposed to just saying, okay, well, we'll just sort of update what we've got, we'll just push play again or whatever, you know, which is what they've sort of done for the last few years. And I think it'd be really good if Dan Electro did something along those lines, because, you know, the guitars that they do are great. But they are rubbish.
They
are great.
They're great because they are rubbish.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're supposed to be a little bit like that. But they do actually do good stuff all the time. It's just that it's always limited runs. Like at the moment, Thomann are stocking gold sparkle Longhorn basses.
Really? I didn't think they were doing Longhorn basses.
Well, they do them in copper burst and black standard, but... But you know,
gold sparkle.
It looks amazing. It looks,
I think,
like
it's not so much the retailer; it would be the like region. So Europe will have ordered.
Of course, let's not forget. You know, Dan Electro brought us the completely paisley guitar.
Yeah,
they did with the 59.
So good.
They did that.
So good.
They did the double cut 59, including, we've mentioned
the graphic
times,
on the actual
fretboard. Yeah, exactly.
But I just think with Dan Electro, someone needs to kind of take the brand by the horns and the Longhorns, and actually produce a product range and do a bit of marketing. And
they're great.
It would just be
them.
It would be so good if they had like a distinct range of guitars.
But they're cheap to make.
They do have a distinct range of guitars.
Yeah, but I guess they do, but then you'd never... No, like, but they never do in production long enough.
They're never always doing the 54, they're never always doing the 59, never always doing the long horn. There's always... They introduce and take out things like the Hodad and...
the Hodad.
I quite like about that. The Hodad. And the Wild Thing and stuff like that. They all seem to sort of come and go. And listen, do you remember the square one that they did?
Yep.
Oh, that was the
It's
best.
Not really a square. It's like a little like oblongy weird thing.
Yeah.
But no,
I like the 63. They do a 63 in a turquoise metal flake. That's the like the double horned one that just looks so good in that color.
But this is it. They have so many body shapes in their catalog history. So many amazing finishes, and it's always the same pickup configuration, always the same sort of volume and tone. It must be cheap to make. Yeah. Oh no, I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I'm saying that production costs for that sort of thing have got to
be really low. Because they're not
expensive guitars. I agree. If they put out like a proper product
if they had like
range.
A standard series, then a reissue series, and then a like baritone series or something,
and
that'd
also,
be well cool.
That's it. Their baritones are brilliant. This baritone is actually
incredible. It sounds amazing.
The neck is really, really deep as well for a baritone, and it made me think. I was playing it, and I was like, Christ, this feels longer than like a baritone scale. Yeah. It almost feels like a bass. And I think it is baritone scale, so it's not longer, but it makes you feel that way just because the neck is so substantial on it. Brilliant.
It's just, you know, I think it's all part of a wider conversation. You know, these Dan Electro appear to be one of those companies who are staying afloat kind of despite themselves.
Yeah, completely.
And, you know, off air earlier, Joe and I had a conversation about Burns. And again, another company who you just... How they're still staying afloat when they're not doing anything new. And
no. But there's so much heritage, same as Dan Electro.
There's so much heritage, and they're such... They make great guitars. And you just need someone to just go... do this properly, like please do this properly.
Yeah, you need someone to step in and like distribute those two brands basically. And
like
say,
how, yeah, like, why on earth Dan Electro discontinued the real Echo?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. What a great pedal.
Was there a pedal board that wasn't on at the time that it was in manufacture? Like everyone had one because it was the cheapest way to get.
Absolutely.
Like
great. Those fab pedals.
I like the Spring King. That was good. That had it like...
Did it have a proper spring in it?
Had the crash pad on it.
Had a crash pad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you could stamp on it and it did the...
Oh, that is very cool. I need to get one of those.
That's right.
But then they
street.
Also buy things like the Sitar Swami, probably the worst pedal of all time, but for some reason they're going for like £200 on eBay.
There is no way that's a bad effect pedal.
I've never heard
the name.
It doesn't do it very well. It doesn't do it very well at all. But the back talk. Is it the back talk that's the reverse delay pedal?
Yeah, so they had that. Yeah, the back talk.
Was it only a reverse delay pedal?
Yeah. It's funny, really, because we talk about pedals from like, you know, 10 years ago, and we talk about Boss and MXR being O2, but actually Dan Electro had a lot
Dan
of pedals
Electro
out
there.
At that point.
That they time did, they yeah. had, because you're right, the Fab range, which was the best way to get into effects.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that, like Behringer is so boring and rubbish. But imagine a time when you could buy like a pedal for £20 and it was a reverse delay.
Like, what are you going to buy? What, if you've got the option between a Behringer, a Joyo, or a car. Like, yeah.
That was so good. The wah pedal, the Daddy-O wah that looked like a Cadillac.
Yeah, that was
but then they also did the Shift Daddy as well, which was the delay, but the pedal like sweeped between like 100 milliseconds or something, so you get some weird kind of like odd effects.
Yeah.
They did a talk box. Do you remember they did like a multicoloured talk box?
They still do.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, like...
But they had some... Because they... Really, I've been meaning to do it for ages, but start the collection of all the food-named ones that they did.
Fish and chips.
Oh, yeah. The tuna melt.
And then because you got the pedal board, and at the end of the pedal board was the bacon and eggs, which was the mini amp that was the size of a pedal that had a tiny speaker in it.
Yes.
That sounds awful. I bet that sounded dreadful.
It sounds well good.
The size of a pedal.
I want you to, like, can you write a feature on the site about those pedals and you tracking them down? I think that would be really good.
I'll get them all.
No, you don't see that.
Yeah, definitely track them down.
Because like,
like the Google Whack adventure, but with
prices are just going to slowly start going up because of this blog.
God, they made so many. So they made what's this? So they made the Pastrami Overdrive, the T-Bone Distortion, the BLT Slap Echo, The corned beef reverb.
Yes, give me that
tuna
corned beef.
Tuna melt tremolo. Okay, you get that. Hash brown flanger, pepperoni phaser, milkshake. What do you think the milkshake was?
A vibe pedal.
Compressor.
Oh, close. Close. Chorus. Right, surf and turf.
That was the compressor, I think.
Yeah. Chili dog.
Amazing. So what you need to do, mate, is you're going to write a blog where, much like the Google Whack Adventure, you go to people's houses to collect these pedals when you buy them, and then you write a little piece on
about how mental they
about,
are.
Yeah, about why they've still got one of these ridiculous pedals.
I will find them.
Talk,
will track them down.
You know, the day that you go to find someone with a bacon and eggs amp, it's going to be like going into sort of Buffalo Bill's house from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, just under a pile of old newspapers. That's where it is. Go on.
Sorry, I was going to say one thing. I made me think of Joe earlier today, actually, as he's such a massive fan. Is I was walking past the one of the walls in the shop, and we have some books, and we had the Korn bass tabs, the three best-selling Korns. And
this is exactly why we don't do books in my shop.
The first 20 pages, he didn't use anything but the B or the E string. I couldn't see a single use of any other string past the fifth fret.
And you don't mean the B and the E. You mean the A and the D.
Because it was all
down. Actually, that low. Yeah. So the two low strings, nothing above the fifth fret, and there was a lot of mutes in it as well.
I bet there was a lot of rests. Just a lot of rests. Have you got the tab book for Fieldy's Dreams, Fieldy's rap album?
Because the classic rap album, Fieldy's Dreams.
Good.
That was what they were playing over the PA the time that I went to see Korn before they played.
Bit of self-promotion. Those boys know how to do it. You wear the Adidas pants and you've got the song Adidas. And then when people come to the gigs, you play the side projects.
It's perfect.
Fieldy's Dreams.
I know you're desperate to jump in.
I also have a good segue as well, before we go.
I've actually got some news, some quite big news.
Have you? Are you allowed to drop this big news?
News.
I don't see what...
Now? Well, let's do it next week. Okay. We've got some more stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we'll drop the big news.
Big news next week.
Okay. We'll do big news next week.
Gives Jay's pregnant. He's not pregnant. That gives people a reason to tune in next week.
Okay.
I've got a segue.
Go on.
I was going to say, talking of burns.
Okay.
The guitarist.
Boss pedals.
We were talking about burns like 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know, but I was trying to. We were talking about it then. I'm segueing now.
Okay, do it.
That's not a segue.
Why is that not a segue?
Speaking of boss pedals, we have promised that we would do a little a kind of bit on boss because people have been asking about the 3-for-2 deal.
We're not doing boss. We're doing burns.
We're doing boss. what I thought would be cool is I'll come up with some genres that you might need a board for, and I want each of you to pick, to get together and pick the three pedals that you would go for in the Boss 3-for-2 deal.
Are we going to do this now?
Let's do it right now.
Are we going to have some thinking time?
No. No.
Great.
No.
Cool. So, I mean, but that's the way to buy pedals.
It's a round table. It's a round table segment. You guys can do it. Okay, so first up, country.
Did you put this in the notes?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
So a country board, Matt. What are your thoughts? What effects would you generally be looking at?
He was going to do genres. That's why
I would go for CS3, lovely compression, DM2W for some
sweet analog flashback. Yeah, slapback delay.
And what else? What else? Country an OD1, SD1, just a little bit.
Blues driver.
Because I don't know, it is quite clean, isn't it? So
RV6.
Ah, sick FRV1.
Nice.
Ah, the Fender one.
Spring reverb.
Is it still current?
It's still current. It's still in the catalogue.
Is it? I think they're phasing those out.
It's still in the catalogue at the moment, definitely.
I went on the Boss website while you were talking earlier and thought, I wonder what three pedals I'd put together.
Went to his homepage.
Just click the home button.
One of them.
I checked the tattoo on my chest. And
so we're saying for country, Matt is proposing CS3,
DM2W,
and the FRV1. Any objections? Anything else that you put in instead?
I would take out the compression pedal.
For country?
Like, you mean the most important pedal
and,
for country?
And then
get a plectrum.
Give him a plectrum instead.
But what about when you're doing your chicken picking?
No, I'm just. I just wanted to wind up Joe. That's sort
of the one that's weird there for me would be, I guess, the DM2W. And maybe, because I'm thinking, like, you might want to step it up for a little country solo, so something that just gives you a bit more oomph. Like, no, you're saying, maybe it's BD2.
It's definitely more important to have the... it's definitely more important to have the slapback
okay.
delay.
Yeah,
I'm with Matty on that. Maybe a DD7, but I think the DM2W as well. That's what I would have gone for.
Okay. Let's do another genre. I'm picking these at random. Let's do... an experimental board. What would you go for? You're looking for a kind of small
concept of music.
It sounds like your granddad trying to explain
experimental.
It sounds like
experimental.
Well, like that rubbish that you listen to. Yeah. Math. Okay, a prog rock board. You've got three pedals. You don't want to spend a huge amount of money. You're getting one of them for free. But you want a small portable board that you can use for kind of weird proggy sounds. Joe, you can have first run at this one.
Probably the OC3.
Okay.
Definitely, I think, like, it's sort of octaved.
Is octave that important?
Yeah, I think so. I think for, like, okay. a proggy sound. I think certainly prog is kind of... I mean, the pedal probably on most... players' boards in that sort of thing is probably an Electro Harmonix Micropog.
Okay.
So I think as an alternative to that, or maybe the Harmonist would be better in that case, actually. Mm. And maybe the...
It depends what you're after. I think if you want...
I would have said the MO2, the multi-overtone, to give it a kind of weird sort of organ-type sort of vibe. Bit of low octave, bit of high octave.
Yeah, okay. Maybe the overtone... Oh, I'm so tempted by the Harmonist, though.
Why not all three? Octave, overtone, and a Harmonist.
I'm not even sure what that would do to the sound.
Yeah.
It'd certainly be experimental anyway.
Yeah, just a bit. So we're saying let's maybe just pencil in MO2.
Yeah.
What other effect is essential for a prog sound?
Lots of drive. So... maybe not. Maybe drive isn't a really essential one. Probably an analog delay.
Okay.
And then I don't know. I'm tempted by something like having like a looper there, something that I can do super weird things on.
Okay, that's interesting.
You went for a really weird selection. You went for a selection I wouldn't have thought you'd have gone for.
What would you have gone for?
I was trying to think for guitarists. I went for MO2, DD7, and like an RV6, and then you kind of just use the drive from an amp. But that's obviously
cheating. But
yeah, you're right. Reverb is definitely an essential, and the RV6 just for the shimmer.
But then again, if I was
going
to
be on there,
maybe go for a DD7.
Why digital?
Because you can get it's got an analog sound on it. Because the DD7's got a looper in it.
Ah.
And then you could have an RV6, because then you can get some wacky reverbs and some shimmers, and then go for like a heavy distortion like a DS1X or an OD1X.
I mean, if you're talking about versatility, I guess, on a prog board, like.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Like, maybe need to think out of the box a little bit. So like you're saying, like, OD1X has got a big range of drive sounds in it. DD7, like you say, gives you analog and it'll do the looping, and it's got reverse, and it's got like loads of sounds in there.
Yeah.
And then like you say, maybe a looper or something. Or yeah, maybe an RV6, which again gives
RV6
you
RV6 for all the weird
massive range of
shimmers.
Reverb. Yeah. J Cross.
Hello.
Punk rock.
Oh, for goodness sake. Like, you guys need pedals.
Oh, so I go to some of Jay's gigs, not all of them, not even most of them, hardly any, but I do go to occasionally some. Pretty much everyone these days has got a pedal board.
Yeah, I'd say so.
What are the what would the punks be playing if they were going to buy three Boss pedals?
TU3.
Okay, another TU3.
A second TU3.
And then another one, and then everyone in the band has then got a TU3, yeah. And one of them is free, so they're saving.
And it's weird, because the drummer doesn't really need anything, yeah. I don't know.
They're only a three-piece, and one of them's a drummer.
No, I would say, first of all, you'd want some sort of overdrive, and I'd say probably overdrive rather than distortion. Perhaps that's the sort of the side of things that I come from over anything else.
What's the drive pedal that Gallows use that's really good?
I don't know.
Is there a Power Stack?
The Power Stack. The Power Stack is really good.
I really like that one.
Yeah, I really like the Power Stack. The Power Stack's a really interesting one. So the Power Stack came out maybe 4 years ago or so. It's a relatively recent one. And the Power Stack is kind of like a preamp pedal, in that you can there are three main sounds in it, and you can blend between the three of them. So there's like ultra, there is sort of I can't remember the three what they're called now, but there's ultra, there's, but essentially one of the, and I'm on the Boss site and I can't zoom in, anyway, it doesn't matter, you can blend between like a very, very like transparent overdrive sound to a bit of a gritty distortion sound to a very, very heavy metal sound.
There's, I think they're kind of based on amps.
They
like
are,
one of
yes.
It's like a kind of Marshally sound, and then the Ultra is like kind of 6505.
Yes, absolutely.
5150,
and there's like a Vox sound in there.
Drive
as well.
Crunch and Ultra.
Yeah, there we go. Drive Crunch and Ultra. And if I remember correctly, I think Drive is the is like a Vox type sound, and then Crunch is the Marshall sound, and then Ultra is the
okay.
is the 5150 sound.
Do you know what I like about it? Two band EQ.
Always important on a preamp.
Well, no, I think that actually having less is kind of better. Like I don't want the mid.
Right.
On a pedal, like, and I'll probably just leave the bass and treble flat. In fact, just put two knobs on it.
level and
the
sound.
Power Stack is like a bit of a kind of underrated gem,
I think as well. I think it's I really, really like it. And it's probably my favourite. Just having a quick scan of those. I also quite like the Combo Drive, which came out at the same time. And that one, I think, is the Combo Drive is, it's another,
it's like
one that's
Vox,
a little bit overlooked. That is like sort of a Vox preamp. And it's really weird that Boss did that, because that's not really Boss's style, is it?
No.
I don't
sort
think.
Of what I expect. Well, it's what Wampler do.
Well, yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah. Like the Ace 30, you know, is just an AC30 preamp. But like the BC2 is kind of that sort of thing. And I really like it. I think that's a really, really cool pedal. But yeah, I mean, I would probably, if push comes to shove, I'd probably, if I just had to choose one drive pedal, I'd probably go. What's what?
Why is the noise suppressor listed in drives?
Oh, they probably just,
I guess it's to do with like gain effects, and I guess the noise suppressor is.
I would probably go, if I was just having one, I would probably go BD2W.
Really? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, wow. Because I thought you were going to jump to a Power Stack.
No, I think the BD2W is cool because it's transparent.
It's more quintessential.
And they just sound, I think they sound better than the BD2. One of the things that I never really got about the BD2 is that I didn't think it sounded great.
Okay.
I thought that
regular
sounded,
BD2.
Yeah, I thought it sounded a little bit too fizzy, I think.
Okay.
And the BD2W, I think, is just sort of addresses that and just like sort of rounds it out a little bit.
I mean, it's still got the original sound in there. Is that right, Matt? That BD2W gives you just an extra sound?
Yeah, I think it's not exactly the same in the sense, because obviously it's all built in Japan, so they use slightly different components.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, effectively you have the standard and then you have the custom mode, and the custom gives you slightly more range on all the controls. But yeah, as I think, as I remember, the big point they were trying to make was it wasn't just like you were adding in like an extra resistor, is there's actually two circuit boards in all of those W pedals.
Yeah.
So there's actually two pedals in one, and when you flick that switch, you're actually going between two different pedals, effectively.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that's your drive sorted. BD2W, what else do you need on a punk rock board?
I would say you also need a delay pedal and a reverb pedal.
Okay.
Those would be the two that I would go for. And I would, again, I'd probably go DM2W.
Okay.
Because it kind of depends what you're doing. I would go DM2W because you can make them sound really weird.
Yeah.
Which again, it's probably not exactly what you want probably not what most like punks want. They probably want something a bit more controllable. So maybe a DD7 or a DD3.
You can't use digital delay for.
Yeah, you can.
But you're playing like it's really fast and like it. It doesn't really matter what it sounds like, as long as it's relatively precise.
The great thing about punk, it doesn't matter what it sounds like.
You know, not really. And then the Fender Reverb pedal.
Oh, it's such a good pedal.
It is. And I mean, I never really liked the RV6, the RV5. I didn't think
the RV6 is amazing.
I've not spent that much time with it. I feel bad for saying it. I do really want to spend the time with it. I haven't had the chance to. I always thought that the RV5, and you know, this is a conversation that we've got a very good working relationship with Boss, and we have always said this, and we've always given them grief over how pony the RV5 was.
I don't think it's pony. I think it's that it had been around a very long time, and everything else had moved on.
I think it was pony.
Okay, fine.
Because I think the previous one, which was the
RV3,
Was it the RV3, the previous one?
Yeah.
That was really good.
Okay.
That was really, really good. And I think the RV5 was just a bit too much like, okay, cool, let's make this sound studio. And it didn't sound studio. I think it sounded really flat and a bit pony. The RV6, from what I've heard, the demos that I've seen, brilliant. I just haven't had enough time to sit down with it. I have had time to sit with the FRV1, and they are wicked.
FRV1 would be, if I was just buying three Boss pedals, like, in this deal, then FRV1 would be the one that would be on the first name on the team sheet.
Yeah, well, also, the FRV1 has got the COSM technology built in. So you could DI out that straight into a PA.
Yes, you can. If you had it, is that right, Matt? If you had it last in the chain, you could just go out straight into a mixer and you get amp modelling.
On the FRV1?
Yeah,
I think you can go straight into a desk with that.
Neat.
That it's really cool. It's really, really cool.
Matt Knight, tell me what three pedals you would pick if you were going for a metal pedal board. We'll do one more guitar one, metal, and then Joe and Jay can do a bass one.
Metalcore, Metal Zone, and they do another one with metal.
Just three metal zones. MT2. No, what would you go for, Matt?
I would go for NS2. Got to have a noise gate.
Good choice.
Obviously.
Got to need a noise gate.
Would you have that first?
No,
that's got to be the end.
It's got an effects loop in it. So you just run the other two pedals in the effects loop, or you run your metal pedal in the effects loop of the NS2.
Oh, okay.
GE7.
Okay, not at all.
Oh,
what I was
nice idea. So you can cut out all the mids.
And.
It's got to be the metal zone. Oh, you're going for the
metal core rather than a metal zone. Because I would rather have the metal core, and because I think it's got good gain, but it's got a little bit more clarity to it. I was really tempted to go for CH1 chorus for those clean ballad moments.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Nothing else matters. You
know, wait, do Boss still do an acoustic simulator?
They do. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, acoustic metal. It's all the rage with the kids. I would probably go for a power stack. I would go for a digital delay of some description. And I'd probably go for the noise suppressor as well. I think,
yeah
so power stack, DD3 digital delay and then NS2 noise suppressor rounds out a pretty wicked metal board.
Nice.
Joe Brenton, do you want to tell us what
can
you
do
would
a bass
pick?
One?
Do a bass one. So this is just for someone who maybe has got a bass, wants to get into effects, wants to pick up three pedals to get started.
Well, he's let me tell you that I have an easier choice, as there are only five pedals available in the
okay,
bass range.
Well, that's fine. Out of the five. But I mean, that's not necessarily
no,
true.
No,
you could say
true.
Oh, OC3, or you could say RV6, like if you wanted reverb. I know.
Yeah, no, there are loads of... There
and CS3?
Yeah, I know that. I just meant listed under bass. There are actually some things. There are some things missing on the.
That is what his boss sounds like.
There are some things missing on the Boss website. I don't know if they've actually been discontinued. I just didn't know.
What was that?
With the chorus, there was a bass chorus.
I think that's gone.
And there was the bass flanger.
That was never a thing. Yeah. BF3 is.
It was a thing about 10 years ago. BF3's got a dedicated bass input.
Yeah. But it's not a bass pedal.
Wow.
Go on
up
then.
Yours.
Good. So what would you pick for your bass board of doom?
CS3, obviously.
Okay, CS3 compressor.
Yeah.
Why would you pick that?
Because bass has to be played with a compressor.
Okay, fine. Good.
Because Billy Sheehan.
That's what I was hoping you would say.
I should have said that. Shouldn't I? Can you edit that?
No.
Who?
Shut up.
Shilly Bean.
And then the BB1X.
Okay, cool.
And of course, you can't get a GEB7 anymore. So
yeah, you can.
GEB7. Oh yeah, that was one of the only.
One of the five. Yeah. You were complaining about the fact that there are only five.
There's literally only five on the screen right now.
Well, no, I won't have that. Even though I was just trying to pick things that I have, and those are the three Boss pedals I have on my board. But okay. No, I probably wouldn't go for the EQ. Actually, I would go for. There you go. There is the...
Oh, the bass chorus is yeah, there's a bass chorus does exist.
Modulation. It's just not listed under bass pedals.
Okay.
For no reason whatsoever. I would go for the bass chorus.
Okay, nice. Jay
Actually,
Cross.
I'm going to change that last minute to the phaser.
Okay, good.
Do they even do a phaser?
Yeah, it's right there. PH3.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Jay Cross, what would you pick if you were doing a bass board?
Can one of them be a TU3?
Yes.
TU3,
okay,
which is actually quite I realised the other day. I've got band practice in a minute. Actually,
we'll have a break.
Yeah,
you can scoot off, and then we'll do some news.
Yes, and I have been playing a fair amount at home, and also like band practices and stuff. My bass doesn't go out of tune.
Mine neither.
My bass just never. Like I've had in the last couple of weeks.
Don't play it hard enough.
I definitely do. 100% I do. Joe just flicked a plectrum
into my tea. Good.
Which is what that that like muffled scorn was. It just don't go out of tune. Which is why I didn't bring my tuner with me.
Okay.
But I will go TU3, BB1X.
Okay.
Can I do another BB1X?
Because no, come on, have some cool modulation.
I don't
have an octaver.
No, definitely not.
Thicken up that sound. Oh, I should have gone for an OC3. It's too hard to pick three. I want six.
Well, this
I'd go for a DMTW. Stick a bit of analog delay.
Maybe a DMT.
DMTW. Yeah, you can tighten that right up. Have some sort of proper Roger Waters slap back.
The songs aren't long enough for that, mate. Maybe a DMTW. They're
not as long as one slapback. It's just that's done.
I mean, I was thinking about taking my Space Echo and just for in between songs or whatever. But
so you still have to pick one pedal for this board.
DMTW.
TU3.
I really like the DMTW. I really like the DMTW on the custom mode. I think the custom mode is really, really good. I think the standard mode is good. Is okay. Somewhere between okay and good. And the custom mode is really good.
Okay.
It sounds really, really good. And so I would probably go with that. Or maybe another drive pedal.
What would you go for, Pacam?
On a bass board, I would go for TU3.
But you can't.
Why? What did you call me?
You get two and you get one free.
All right. So I'd go TU3. I would go BB1X, which I think is an awesome pedal.
Yeah.
And it depends what it's for. If I was going to use it live, I would probably just get something like...
Phaser.
Not the phaser. I would get something actually useful. So, like, maybe EQ, maybe GB7, yeah. Sorry.
Ooh, FB2. Feedbacker. Feedbacker booster.
Okay.
That they're discontinued. Do you know that? I think I can say that.
Yeah, it's fine.
They're discontinued. So the only ones left are the only ones left.
Okay.
And you can't claim it as your free one because the boss don't have any left.
Oh, okay. There we go.
So if you want one, you've got to buy one. They were... Feedbacker Booster is one of those pedals that I really wish had...
taken off.
Done more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was cool. A cool idea.
It's really
cool. Don't use it as a booster. Just use it as the feedbacker.
Yeah, instant feedback. For those who don't know what it is, you set it into feedback mode and you can hold down on the pedal. It's like momentary, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
And your guitar just feeds back instantly. It's so cool. Maybe really that cool. would be my one.
Yeah, that's
because
what I'm saying.
For bass, I don't really need that many effects. But so if I've got the BB1X doing the drive, I can just, at the end of the set or whatever, or in between songs, just stamp down on the pedal.
Just have three of them.
Maybe what you need then is you don't need the TE3 because as we've already ascertained, your bass never goes out of tune. Maybe what you need is BB1X, FB2... RC1.
I was just thinking that.
Just loop
so then
the feedback.
You feed the feedback into the looper, yeah. Then you stand off the pedal, off the FB2.
Yeah.
Then you leave your feedback going, and then you can play
gives
over
you
the
enough,
top.
That gives you enough time. Well, no, not even that. Just like that gives you enough time for the guitarist to tune and you to have a drink. Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. So there we go. If you're looking at kind of capitalizing on the current Boss deal, there's some ideal boards from you. But let us know what you would choose if you had to pick three Boss pedals, or maybe what you have picked. Or I think if you go onto the Boss site, it's
boss342.com.
I think you can share a board, like if you make up a board on there, you can share it. So I want to see some of those in the Facebook group. That would be cool.
It's very fun.
It is fun. Like, pedal boards are fun, aren't they? They're really good. We're gonna have a break. Jay's gonna go to his band practice.
Uh-oh.
And then indeed. Thank God we don't have to be there. And then we're going to come back with some news and some questions. And
nudes.
Then we'll do a Patreon episode after that. How about
that? Okay. Can I go to the toilet in the break?
Please do. Just not here.
Sorry,
not on the sofa.
To run away, gang.
See you next week, Jay.
Bye.
Bye, Jay.
Bye, Jay Cross.
And we're back for some news.
Nudes.
So, first up, brand new MXR EVH5150 Overdrive.
A cracker of a pedal.
Indeed, yeah. We've got a demo up for it on the site and on the YouTube channel.
First ever Guitar Nerds demo.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Like, the pedal itself sounds great.
We videoed it in my lounge, which was nice.
Yeah, Dan used a telly, which in retrospect...
was a bad idea.
We
got
a little bit of grief.
We're getting hammered on YouTube comments about that. But I have to say, it sounded good. And I get it. I get, obviously, people who want to buy that pedal want to sound like Eddie Van Halen.
I just want
a good preamp out of it, and it sounds amazing with the telly.
I think it's one of those things where, like, I love that tone, but I can't play anywhere near as good as Eddie Van Halen. But I want that sound, and I want to use that sound, like, for my own playing.
Yeah,
and that's why I always get it's like, oh, well, he didn't use a telly. He used a bloody Frankenstein Strat that was like a bit of everything, you know. It's like you still can't replicate that, and you can't replicate it going through a loud amp. And the idea is that it's his, that sound in a box that you can then use any way you want. You don't have to play like Van Halen if you buy that pedal.
And
I was like playing it and all the way that I play, I was like, yeah, this is the sound that I really want. This, you know,
the weird thing with it is that it's even with the telly, it sounds great, and it sounds like a thick kind of overdriven Marshall sound, which I guess is kind of what they're going for, you know, and then that obviously feeding into the kind of 5150 sound. I thought, you know, MXR have done loads of signature stuff in the past. Some of it I've not been a huge fan of. Some of it I think is just the name kind of slapped on without much thought gone into it. But this one, it's just an awesome pedal. It's like a really, really good drive pedal.
The Van Halen phaser they did was great as well.
Yeah, that
appeared
cool.
on a lot of people's
boards.
Yeah.
Blink-182's phaser of choice.
Really?
Actually. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, those two bands are the same, aren't they? Blink and Van Halen.
Pretty much, yeah.
Of course. So, yeah, I really enjoyed shooting that. It sounded good. I like the fact it's got a noise gate built in. And yeah. Post-shooting the video, I actually have done a bit of reading. It's the smart gate. It's a smart gate circuit, yeah. But just with one control.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool.
I like that it lights up when the gate is active. I think
also, the chair that Dan's sitting on is an £1,100 chair.
Wow. Nice. Good stuff. So, yeah.
That I didn't pay that for it.
That good. Good to know. So, that's cool. And I think, again, you know, it's a massively competitive market, things like drive pedals. But if you want a Van Halen sound, it is kind of that. It's just kind of Van Halen in a box. And, you know, pretty versatile as well. The drive control on there and the boost mean that you can go from kind of rhythmic crunch right through to ridiculous shreddy sounds. So.
Yeah.
Next up, only announced today this, and I don't know a huge amount about it, Fender FSR Jimi Hendrix Strat.
Yes.
Hashtag something about Axis.
So, what
alter
they've done...
Alter your Axis.
Yeah, alter your Axis. So what they've done is very similar to, do you remember the Gibson Strat?
Yes, the Gibson Jimi Hendrix Strat.
So same sort of thing in that it's a right-handed model that they've put an upside-down headstock on. I don't want to say neck because it's not a left-handed neck. It is just a reverse headstock.
Yeah. Worth noting, Fender have done this before as well. Yeah, there's been a previous Jimi Hendrix model.
Okay. So this one also has the bridge strap pickup round in reverse.
Yep.
So
angled the wrong way.
So you got
the other way.
Yeah, exactly. So the tightest point to the bridge is on your low strings, which is actually great because the guitarist in my band plays in the same way, left-handed strung upside down. And he plays tellies, and he's really, you know, he thinks that his sound is very much from having that pickup in the reverse way round and just having your low end being so very tight. But so they've done that. One thing they haven't done is it is a right-handed
trem bar. Left-handed option.
No, it's a right-handed trem bar.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that makes kind of more sense, really. Because
I don't know the SRV.
Well, I know, but it doesn't really affect, like, the sound or anything, whereas the pickups being the other way around do, and also the headstock being around the other way does, because it changes the string tension.
Yeah.
I actually, price wise on these, they're like 670 quid.
Yeah, 660. Yeah.
660. I'm kind of into the idea of it. Like, I'm not a huge Hendrix fan. In fact, I find quite a lot of his stuff quite boring. I really like reverse headstock strats. I'm kind of getting into the idea of getting something more stratty. Ideally, I want a fixed bridge, but I can sort that out on the Strat. But I really like the idea of reverse headstock. And this kind of makes it affordable, and it's a cool-looking guitar. The only thing I don't like is it's got a Hendrix picture on the back plate.
Really?
On the neck plate, sorry. Which says, like, free the tone or something like that. Matt, have you got a picture of it there?
I did have. Where'd it go? There is, like, it's the classic Jimi Hendrix sort of, like, that outline-y portrait thing. What does it say? No, it says I can see authentic Hendrix.
Oh, maybe it's that. Yeah, I don't know why. I thought
still though. I don't know.
What, the backplate doesn't look good?
Yeah, it looks all right. I kind of like it, and I kind of don't like it. It's one of those weird ones. I've been looking at it all day and going, I really like this guitar, and then I look at it again.
Nah.
And I'm like, I really don't like this guitar.
Nah.
Yeah. I really like the way it's laid out. Like I said, like reverse headstock and stuff. I think it's just a cool thing, and the pickup thing is cool. But yeah, I'm not sure I could get away with that backplate. Maybe if I could switch that out, that'd be good. Matt, something again that only came in today, the news only broke today. Electro Harmonix Crash Drum.
As I said on the group, Electro Harmonix definitely listened to this podcast and stole the idea that I'm really into the space drum. Went, oh, there's that one dude in England who like always goes on about this like weird drum that we made in the 80s. Yeah, we should probably just like reissue it. And it looks awesome.
I just don't understand who's going to buy them except for you.
Me and Jay, we're going to buy that and a random tone generator and start a band.
That would be a great band. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. I think they're kind of going down the sort of, you know, electronics route. I mean, they've got so many other kind of crazy sort of weird products like the Clockworks and that kind of 8-step sequencer and things like that. And they're kind of making like a modular thing with all of their
their pedals, really. But what I like about it is that you can have it on a pedal board, and then the button is like easily, like, you're not going to break it with your foot.
Yeah.
So you could have it on a pedal board and use it for kind of like drum sounds and stuff like that as well. You don't have to, because obviously the space drum was like a pad that you hit with like drumsticks.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of into it, and you can plug an external pedal in and kind of filter sweep and everything as well. It looks really cool.
Yeah, I think they've done something quite sensible, and not just like reissuing Space Drum. I think they've kind of given it a bit of a modern twist and put it in a decent box and stuff like that. I think it's
I don't know how much they're going to be. I reckon £80.
Yeah, they won't be £100. They'll be like £79, something like that. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Good stuff. Is that going to sneak into Gear of the Year? I guess it depends whether it actually emerges in the next few weeks.
Well, come on. I mean, we let the Miku in, didn't we?
Yeah,
but that was a mistake. I think we should agree to never let stuff we haven't tried.
Have we still got Weird Gear of the Year? Are we still?
Yeah, that's still a category. That. Weirdest Gear of 2015 will be a category in this year's Gear of the Year.
That could be in there.
Yeah. Talking of Gear of the Year, actually, before we move on to the next news item, the votes are going to be going up soon for listeners' choice. I think we're going to run it from like the second week of November until, I don't know when we're going to record Gear of the Year, probably second week of December or first week of December. So it'll give you like a few weeks basically to cast your votes and try stuff out if you've not tried it out yet and things
and
like that.
And all listeners, let it be known that just like last year, I will do my best to make sure that your category is removed early.
Oh, what, the choice is removed?
Yeah, what did they choose?
Soul Food, I think.
Soul Food, and I voted heavily against it along with Matt Knight.
Yeah, I think you two are mugs. That's a great sounding pedal.
Nah, really good. We know best.
I'm really looking forward to it this year, by the way. I have more interaction with the forum. We've got more forum members than ever, so should be cool.
Yeah, should be a good one.
So, next news item, Magnetic Effects released the White Atom Fuzz. Now, the reason that I put this in here is, firstly, we got sent this news. I'd never really heard of Magnetic before, but they're based in London, and they sent a pedal down for us to have a look at, and I unboxed it today, and have just been playing around with it for a bit, and I think we're going to give it away in a competition prize at some point. It's really cool. It's really cool fuzz. Silicon and germanium transistors. It's got a texture control that allows you to kind of blend between... It goes from kind of like weird 8-bit-y glitchy stuff right through to kind of... almost like an overdrive rather than a fuzz, like really usable kind of ampy drive. Matt, had you heard of Magnetic before?
No, it was one of the. It's one of those brands I'm always kind of looking out for, kind of something different, because you end up seeing boutique brands. You go, oh, they look really good, and then every other shop is selling them, and then they're kind of not really a boutique brand. So it's kind of good to see something new and different that you don't see anywhere else. So I look forward to giving it a go when I come down in a couple of weeks to kind of do the. We're all sitting around in the same room podcast.
Yeah, finally we're going to get together and do a podcast together again. So I've got kind of a load of stuff stocked up down here that you need to have a listen to, and then maybe potential Gear of the Year stuff. But it's a cool fuzz. It's not a huge amount of money. They're like really small production runs. It looks really cool as well. It's got kind of like a 50s kind of styling to it. I'm into it, and from the initial 5 minutes that I had with it earlier, there's potential for it to win something. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's do one last bit of news. The Gibson Billy Gibbons Ultimate SG. Matt Knight, tell me about it.
Good God.
It kind of divided opinions when I popped up on the Facebook group. But I'm really into it as a guitar, and someone went, oh, I can't see why you'd ever spend that sort of money, and you'll never sound like Billy Gibbons. And then once again, it comes to the thing that we were saying earlier about the 5150, is that I kind of wouldn't buy it to sound like Billy Gibbons. I'd just buy it because it's a cool looking guitar.
It's the ultimate kind of luxury guitar, isn't it? Luxury.
I mean, yeah, 100%.
How many people play Les Pauls to sound like Les Paul?
That's true. Yeah. It's a bit of a different case, but
I've just seen the case as well. I'd seen the guitar. I hadn't seen the case that it comes with.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The
comes
case.
Like a hand painted case, isn't it?
Hand painted case. And you get like a certificate and stuff with it.
Isn't every case different as well?
Something like that. They're like painted by like a Texas artist or something like that. So, bonkers.
That's right.
The state of Texas backplate as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, because you know the Pearly Gates Les Paul that they had.
Yeah.
You know the aging on the back is
shape of Texas. Yeah, ridiculous.
I'm just really into it. I just think it's a cool
a cool guitar. I was watching a rig rundown with those guys with his tech, and actually most of his SGs come fitted with those Maestros, but they're just disconnected,
so right,
they kind of move up and down, but they don't use them. Because
sure.
Was I saying the other week where they were basically saying that his rig is set up so no matter what guitar he plugs into, it sounds like his Pearly Gates Les Paul plugged into a Marshall.
Yeah.
Because the idea is it's all showmanship, really.
Yeah.
It's like in a studio, yeah, they'll use loads of different stuff, but live, everything just needs to sound like that Les Paul plugged into a Marshall.
And then you pull out a guitar that looks a bit ridiculous and doesn't matter.
I just think it's awesome. I don't know, is it like gold leaf or is it just a finish? Or because it's like,
I think it's just a finish. I think it's like a metallic gold finish. I don't think it's like actually gold in any way. So,
but I'm just really into it. It's just a 61 SG that just looks just awesome.
Good stuff. Well, chaps, we're like well over time. We went on a bit of a we've done long. I think what we'll do is we've not got any time for questions this week, so we'll do a big questions podcast next week. We'll do a couple of questions over on the Patreon episode this week. We have got, I'm not sure what questions we'll do. Let's just do a little random pick and mix over on the Patreon episode. If you want to get involved in that, patreon.com/guitar nerds. As these people have done.
Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Dale Rasko, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Moose Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Thanks very much for that. That was a great reading. I like the beginning where you clearly forgot how to read.
Yes.
That was good. If you go over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, from as little as $5 a month, you get an extra half an hour of this episode, this podcast every week. From $10 a month, you become an executive backer and get your name read out on the podcast each week. I've just found out Patreon have now got an app as well, which I assume, I've not tried it yet, you can listen to the podcast, you can download the podcast to your phone and listen to it from there as you would just with iTunes. So
smash it.
That is that's a pretty cool function, so do go and check that out. I've not had time to yet. Thanks so much, chaps. Thanks for listening this week, and for those Patreon backers, we'll see you over there for a couple questions, and then we'll do a big question special next week. Thanks very much.
Well done.
Goodbye.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.